Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for joining us this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo is back next week, and Dylan is behind the glass. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. In just a moment, Michael Penix is about to be graded for his first quarter performance this season. But want to get you caught up on all the headlines before you get into work today. Thursday night football was close despite their injuries. 49ers won 26-23 over the Rams in overtime. We'll dive deeper into that when we go in the huddle at 7:20. The MLB wildcard series, that's over. Moving on, we've got Detroit taking on Seattle, Yankees taking on the Blue Jays. Dodgers will face the Phillies, and the Cubs will take on the Brewers. The Jaguars' Trayvon Walker has had wrist surgery but could play Monday night against the Chiefs. And Brian Snicker probably had the most texts and calls in the city of Atlanta this week. People wanting to talk to him. Well, he got back to the steakhouse, and he's going to join them at 10 a.m. today, so don't miss that. But speaking of Snit, his job is open. Ken Rosenthal spoke with David Ross recently, said he's eager to get back to managing. It's an itch that hasn't gone away.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting sort of interview that Ken Rosenthal did. Obviously, there on The Athletic, if you've got The Athletic, make sure you go check that out, because it kind of dives into David Ross being fired from the Cubs and how Jed Hoyer, the Cubs GM and president, was like in Tallahassee waiting outside David Ross's house for him to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And how that, you know, David finally answered the phone. He's like breaking down film, trying to find like he's trying to like round out his coaching staff for the next year. And Jed Hoyer is like, "Hey, man, are you at home?" And David was like, "Yes, I am." And he's like, "Okay, good. I'm outside of your front door." And David's like, "I am getting fired." And the dynamic between David Ross and the Cubs and David Ross and Craig Counsell and everything else that went on with that situation. But look, David Ross is a Georgia native. He played for the Braves. He played in the South, obviously. He played at Auburn for a little bit. And he's just one of those guys that I think throughout your career you always looked at and you're like, man, he's going to be a great manager. And here we are. And a lot of – I don't know. Maybe I just feel a lot of that way about a lot of catchers. But we're here with this opportunity that he seemingly fits. Now – was his time with the Cubs great? No, but he was in a rebuilding tenure with the Cubs. And I think he learned a lot from that experience. I know Braves fans, and we had this conversation yesterday, really want somebody that knows what they're doing to step into this role. No, like, first-time guesses. Like, you need to knock this out of the park because you have a roster that you think can make a postseason run. I think I would be on board with David Ross. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he, you know, it's not that this just slam dunk candidate anywhere else. I just think he fits this organization, this franchise. You know, Ken Rosenthal has mentioned, and he talked through some of these names, that Mark DeRosa is out there. We talked about him. Ryan Flaherty, who's currently the Cubs bench coach, former Marlins manager Skip Schumacher, who we brought up yesterday. There's names floating out there. Grant yesterday said Walt Weiss, mm-hmm. the current bench coach for the Atlanta Braves. So we'll see what happens. The timeline, like Grant talked about yesterday, still remains unclear, but I thought it was really interesting that Ken Rosenthal said David Ross went out of his way to say, yeah, be a great spot.
Right.
I love that opportunity. Goes back to what I said yesterday. I think just about any manager in baseball would love that opportunity because this is not a rebuild. This is a team that is ready to go right now.
Yeah, this has to be the most attractive job in baseball if I had to guess. So I would love David Ross too. Obviously used to had a bit of time here and I think would be a great locker room vibe and would fit the timeline of the Braves. He isn't obviously a super young manager. He seasoned, had time with the Cubs like Mike talked about a few moments ago, but experienced enough to where he would definitely have the respect of all those guys in that clubhouse and has that experience, I think, enough, like Mike said, to where he could be a part and help this team and make all the right decisions to help this team win now and get back to where we want to get back to, which is winning World Series.
Yeah, and I know the timeline is uncertain, but I definitely want this decision to be made sooner rather than later, so that in the offseason we can handle what we need to handle.
Yeah, it has that feel of like, you know, coaching hires in football where it's like you're waiting until after the, you know, college football playoff or the NFL playoffs or whatever it may be. But I don't think that this is a situation where they're waiting until after the World Series.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't feel like that. So, and there's, you know, the candidates are a lot more broad in baseball coaching circles. It's almost like when you're hiring a soccer coach, like Atlanta United's like, dude, it could be anybody in the world. You know, you feel like when they're hiring a soccer coach, like, you're not just looking at these small coaching circles. Like, this could be anybody in the world. So we'll see what happens. But I'm with you. I don't foresee them doing that. I think the longer it lingers, though, the more it does make me wonder if they're looking at somebody that's involved in the playoffs right now. You know,
so interesting.
I'll be curious to see how that rolls, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said yesterday, our anniversary is coming up, so I expect the news to drop on that day, because the Braves love to drop news on special
that time
days.
Around again, like 5:30, 6 o'clock, somewhere in between dinner time.
Alex,
right as their
reservation.
Seated. Yeah.
All right. So regarding the Falcons, they are in a bye week. So we've been giving them grades all week long, basically, on how the first four games of the season, the first quarter of the season, has been going. It's 2-2 for the season so far. We're coming off a big win off the Commanders. We have Buffalo coming to town next week. We got to grade Michael Penix, quarterbacks. So, Dylan.
Yeah. I just wrote my grade down because I wanted to write mine down before Dylan said it, just so I was proving to you I didn't have the same thing.
Okay.
I just wrote it down. I'm going to put it face down.
B+. Going B+ because that Panthers game was so bad to me, I can't put him in the A category. Like, that's just been a tough game. And then, again, he did have – even though he played, I think, phenomenal, all things considered, against the Commanders, he did have that one bad interception that was a bad read. But, look, that's going to happen. That's just the way of the quarterback, and that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. Otherwise, though, talking about the good that he's done, again, you know that Carolina game was a wash and just a bad day of the office, and we just chalk it up to that. I do take a letter grade down for that, though. But other than that, I mean, he's done everything you wanted him to do. He has been a, and I hate to use this term, but I'm using it just to make my point. He has managed the game well. I won't say game manager, but he has managed the game well to where he hasn't been the reason, really, you've lost any games. Matter of fact, he was the reason you were in position to win that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Keeping his, I mean, that the great wherewithal of keeping his knees off the ground and extended just enough to tie the game up. So he's come up clutch in those situations. Did well in Minnesota, even though they had their own red zone issues, but played very well in Minnesota, I thought, as well, too. And then we just talked about the Commanders game, and then obviously we know what happened against the Panthers, but hasn't really been the reason you've lost any – hasn't been the sole reason you've lost any games, like, you know, unfortunately Kirk Cousins was last year for some games, but has done a good job just doing what he's been asked to do in this offense. And, you know, we know there have been some issues with Zach Robinson, but – I just like the way he has handled himself, and his pocket presence has been good. I know, again, the Carolina game was its own thing where the feet and the footwork and the mechanics were not good, but he did a good job bouncing back from that, but has made good decisions, has gotten the ball out quick, has also, we talked about the O-line being we give them a B, and he's done a good job at times buying extra time for the O-line, using his legs at times as well, too. Getting it out quick, so he's done all the things you want a franchise quarterback to be able to do. Process information well, make good decisions, take care of the football, take his opportunity, use his legs when he needs to, and make those big throws. And we know he's got the big arm. He made a couple of very good throws down the field last week. A couple of one that fell incomplete, but that one just dot to Drake London was an absolute dime. So, all in all, I feel really good about Michael Penix, and I feel good landing at B+.
B+ is high.
Really?
B+ is high.
What do you have?
I got C+ written down.
Wow. So I was wondering if a grade would come down a little bit just because the Carolina game could wreck that average.
I think that we both look at the Carolina game the same, where he said it's worth a letter grade. But I think I was at B+ after thinking about the Minnesota game.
Oh, okay.
And I think when I went to the Carolina game, then I came to C+. I think that, and you said he's not the sole reason that you lost against Carolina. I think he was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And it was so frustrating watching his footwork. And it all comes down to expectations, right? This is what we've been talking about this throughout the last couple of days when you are grading the Atlanta Falcons. It's all about expectations. I think that Michael Penix has been a victim of his own success much in that way, where you just feel like he's rising to the occasion and he's played with consistency. His accuracy has been great. And then all of a sudden, it just wasn't. And it kind of, if you go back and watch the Minnesota game, there were inklings of it. I mean, his yardage, his yards passing against Minnesota is 135. Like, you look at some of the red zone issues, and we talked about some of the throws to Ray-Ray. There was some other miscues in there that I think some of them were obviously on the, you know, the passing targets. But I think I just expect so much more out of Michael Penix that when you look at the Carolina game, you're like, what in God's name? Like, I feel like when his career is over and that if that film comes on, you're going to be like, who was that?
Yeah.
Because it was just so out of character. I think that – and I know where Dylan's going with the B-plus because I think he has played extremely well when you go back and look at, you know, week one against Tampa and you look at the Commanders. But he was not good against Minnesota, and he was downright awful against Carolina. So I have to kind of hold him to task for that. I went C-plus. It's not, you know, as bad as the wide receivers, but I think both of them kind of go hand-in-hand. Yeah, the wide receiver's a D. I was like, dude, this has been bad. You know, thank God that Bijan is so good out of the backfield catching the ball and that Kyle Pitts has stepped up. I think those two guys are the reason that I move him up to a C-plus from that category. And you're right. I thought it was a good point you just made about how he's scrambling against Minnesota and is able to show body control, you know, a couple of different things. Obviously against Tampa as well, where he's able to do different stuff at the end of the game. He has been a lot better in the pocket than I imagined it. But I just think that he's a victim of his own success that we saw at the end of last year and a couple of times this year, where I just expect more. And you have these games that you just fall off. I'm like, who was that? And so I think that consistency will allow this grade to continue to climb. But I'm at C-plus right now. I have to be blunt about it in my assessment. And I think the defense, we gave all these shining grades to the defense, gave a decent grade to the offensive line. They can be better as well. The receivers have been poor, and Michael Penix has been a part of that with the passing game. So I don't put it all on the actual players, but we're grading the players. So I have to continue to go back. Ike Hilliard's gone. Zach Robinson, I've not been a massive fan of. T.J. Yates is now the wide receiver coach. The passing game coordinator thing's moved around. Zach Robinson, it hasn't been all sunshine and rainbows for Michael Penix this year. So I sit at the C-plus. I understand where Dylan's coming from. I'm just going to be a little more harsh with the expectations because I think he's earned that. I think he's earned the ability to have harsh grades because he is so good at times.
Well, and like you mentioned yesterday, these are first quarter reports, right? So room for improvement, time to improve, and a lot of corrections have been made since that Carolina game. We are going to have grades for running backs going on at 8:40 today. But if you want to get your Thanksgiving week started with some golf for a great cause, you can join Sports Radio 92.9, the game's third annual Browngrass Charity Golf Classic. It's presented by Finley Roofing. It's coming up on Monday, November 24th at Eagle Watch Golf Club in Woodstock. Now is the chance to sign up. You can go to 929thegame.com, click the events link, but do it now because foursomes are going very quickly. It's the third annual Browngrass Charity Golf Classic benefiting Pets for Vets, November 24th. Coming up, we are going to look around the NFL, talk more about last night's game on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
23 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. We're about to go in the huddle, talk about Thursday night football. But don't forget, you can always listen to Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game on the Odyssey or iHeartRadio or TuneIn apps. It's free 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So especially when you're just trying to get through a Friday at work, put us in your ears. Pretend you're on a webinar.
Clock out, man. Mentally
Hang
clock out.
Out. With us. Yes.
I'm not a fan of quiet quitting, but just mentally clock out if you need to. We'll ride with you.
I mean, we know you're counting down to your 48 hours of freedom, so we're trying to help you get there as
Dude.
Fast as possible.
Dude, it's going to be so good.
So we've kind of been bringing up this topic of B teams this week. Is it a faux pas to have a B team if your team is not in the playoffs?
You were kind of sulking this morning about the fact that the Guardians kind of lost out of the playoffs, and then
go
Dylan
Tigers.
Hit you with a go Tigers.
Go
yeah.
Tigers.
Yeah.
The Braves are obviously in the driver's seat for me. I have my dad is from the Chicago area, so I kind of keep the Cubs in my bet, much in the way he's talking about with Detroit. I also have family in Michigan too, though. So
nice.
Tigers have been a thing. But it also has come up with the fact that the Falcons are not playing.
Right.
This weekend, and the bye week thing kind of comes around. It's like, man, what NFL games are you watching this weekend? I've been kicking this around for the last couple of days. I don't know that I have an NFL B team. Now, I know Dylan does, which is the
I
Falcons.
Actually don't.
Yeah, which is the Falcons.
The Falcons are my A team and my
okay.
only team.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm
my
a Falcons
one and
fan.
Only.
Yeah.
But I grew up kind of a Miami Dolphins fan. I'm from Florida.
Okay.
But I remember, because Derek Brooks is from Pensacola, I remember really rooting for Tampa when Derek Brooks was there. And also Emmitt Smith is from Pensacola too, so I kind of rooted for Emmitt along the way. But I grew up a Dan Marino fan, like in the 90s. You know, I was like, Dan is like a beast.
Because of Ace Ventura?
Well, yeah, well, something like that.
I feel like I'm getting so much new Michael.
I know, man.
Mike Johnson.
A little bit of
right
insight.
Now.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Those things have all faded. Like, there's no Dan Marino anymore. I've never made it a secret. I do love Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah.
Right. Because of his college career. He's probably my favorite college football player of all time was Tua. So watching him go to work in college was a lot of fun. I don't know that I have a B NFL team, though.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. Style of play has been kind of fun to watch for some teams. I love watching San Francisco. I do have a B college football team right now, though, and earmuffs for all the Georgia fans out there, but Georgia Tech, because I coached one of their players in high
right.
school, and I love Brent Key and have a relationship with him, I love Georgia Tech right now. I love watching Georgia Tech, the gritty brand of football they play. It's not nothing. I love watching Kirby Smart and George as well, don't get me wrong, but I feel myself watching, like if I'm definitely watching the Bama game, I'm also going to find where Georgia Tech's playing.
Mm-hmm.
It just so happens Georgia Tech is on a bye week as well. So that's not a thing either.
Now, I think we should point this out. I think there is a difference between having a team you're just rooting for and a B team. Like, just because you're rooting for a team doesn't mean they're your B team, right?
Well, and here's what I'll say. I think B teams can change year to year.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's different storylines where you look at like a certain player and maybe there's a a quarterback or something that graduated from your school, much like I was just talking about Tua, where he goes to a team and he's a starting quarterback. You're like, oh, I'm going to root for them. I only imagine there's been at least somebody that rooted for the Lions over the years when Matt Stafford was up there. There was a Georgia fan. They were like, oh, the Lions? Yeah, I'm definitely following them. I know for a fact, and Georgia fans probably have this too, that there's been Bama fans that are rooting for the Eagles because of Devontae Smith and Landon Dickerson and some of the other – and Jalen Hurts.
Absolutely.
Like, they definitely have done that.
And there are definitely – and to that point too, Georgia fans that root for the Eagles as well because all the Georgia
exactly.
players that are there.
So, I guess my question therein lies, is it okay to have a B team? Is it okay to have a long-term B team?
I think so. I personally don't see a problem with it. Like, I know people are like, no, you can only have one team. You're not a fan.
Only one squad.
Yeah, only one squad. You can't call yourself a fan of a team if you have another team that you root for because blah 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 blah. I don't personally know. Care.
There are limitations. I mean, obviously you have an A team, a B team. Just because Falcons are on bye week, you're not going to wear a jersey of a different team.
Yeah, I do.
You know, like, you can't have merch.
The NFL thing, like, I just feel different for different sports. The NFL thing, I'm like, nah, dog, don't be coming at me with – I don't know why. I don't know why I feel about that. But I'm like, I ain't cheering for nobody else this weekend.
And the other limitation, I would say, obviously, for a B team is if the A team – if your A team is playing your B team, obviously you're rooting for your A team.
Of course.
Yeah, so – There are limitations
for sure.
to it.
Yeah, we got to put our foot down somewhere here.
But, I mean, make no mistake, like, had the guards continued on in the playoffs, like, I would not be wearing a jersey or anything and be, like,
oh, no, no,
putting
right.
out
yeah.
posts
no, no, no.
or anything.
Yeah.
Not buying
That's
any merch.
That's where I'm drawing
the
line.
Yeah,
you ain't
no,
buying
no, no,
no swag.
No.
No.
Don't
not
buy
buying
swag.
Any swag. Can't buy swag.
Don't
no.
buy swag. You can't buy swag for a B team. If you can't say, well, you know, this is my second team. I'm going to wear this hat. Nah, dog. I'm putting my foot down.
The most you can do for your B team is clap for them. Get rowdy for them. That's it. Most you can do for your B team is clap for him.
Watch the game. That's
exactly.
It.
Watch the game.
And again, this all comes up because the Falcons are not playing this weekend, yeah. And the Braves are not in the playoffs.
Right.
And so you're like, man, I really kind of like playoff baseball. I should definitely want to watch playoff baseball. Who am I going to watch? The Falcons off this weekend. I'm like, I really like NFL football. Who am I going to be paying attention to? And obviously I'll be in the car headed home on Sunday because I don't have to work. But, man, yeah, I think there's just – and I think Atlanta's different because this is such a transplant city in so many different ways that, like, you might even have been born here, but, like, kind of Dylan's talking about, like, your parents are from somewhere else probably. You know what I mean? This city doesn't have some kind of long history of, like, millions of people. It's the odds are that your parents or grandparents came from somewhere else and they cheered for somebody else when they were there.
I mean, my dad is a huge Steelers fan. So I do kind of, I keep a track of
exactly
like, what's
what
Aaron Rodgers up to now? Yeah. Like, I keep track of that
stuff. Exactly what I'm talking about. And I think that's fair. I just think there's got to be limitations.
Yes.
There's got to be limitations. You don't buy the swag.
There has to be some sort of line that you draw that you just can't cross over. Otherwise, you know, that's not B-team.
For you, and I'm not, this is not a shot, but for you, it would be like, you can't wear Eagle stuff, bro.
Exactly.
You can't
cheer in videos for the other team.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I can't say big champs.
You can't say big champs. Big champs. All right, speaking of the NFL, let's talk about what happened last night. I feel like all week we were talking about the injuries with the 49ers because they are just nonstop, but they won last night over the Rams 26-23. Eddie Pinheiro made a 41-yard field goal during overtime. And so let's hear from Kyle Shanahan on Mac Jones.
He played his ass off, man. Was unbelievable in the first half. Got banged up a little bit there in the second half and battled through it and protected the ball. Going against that defense and throwing the ball that many times and not having a turnover and protecting like he did, I can't say enough good things about Mac.
He was an absolute beast last night in a lot of different ways. And I'm going to say this only because they brought it up on the broadcast last night. That Al Michaels was like, I'm not going to start this. I don't want to start this. But if Mac Jones is going to play this way, I really have to wonder if we've got a quarterback controversy in San Francisco.
Dude, I am so glad you brought that up. I was like, look at Al Michaels getting a little messy right here, stirring the pot.
Here's the thing, though. Two drives later, Mac Jones gets hurt and goes down holding his knee. And I was like, oh, man, like that was short-lived.
Yeah, turned out it was just a cramp.
Then he jumps back up. Yeah, I was like, what happened?
He was just cramping. They said on the thing, he just ended up cramping. It showed a picture of him smiling, gave him bananas. Like, here, dude.
Yo, my wife goes, is there a chance that, like, his knee brace was just pinching him or something? Because I don't know what just happened there. Like, that was bad. Like, it looked like – I thought he was done for the year.
No,
he was done for the year. Like, bring the card out.
Agony.
Mac Jones is done for the year. Brock Purdy has been good. Don't get me wrong. But he was brutal last weekend. And when you look at what Mac Jones has done in his couple starts, definitely looks good. So, that's a 4-1 football team, by the way. Ding.
I understand he is 3-0 as a starter. Brock Purdy – Let's not pretend he was playing at 100% last week. I understand he played poorly, but he wasn't playing at 100%. I will say this, though. We do have to give our fellow morning shifter, Squidbilly, some credit because the Baker Mayfield arc is Baker Mayfield arcing for Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And if he continues to play like this, I don't know if it'll end up making a quarterback controversy in San Fran. It could. I don't personally think so. I think they'll stick with Brock, but Mac Jones is playing his way to being a starter somewhere if he continues to play like this. I will say that.
All I know is that when you get to like 2028 and Brock Purdy's contract, his cap hits like $60 million. So they're gonna have some decisions that they're gonna have to make if that's gonna be a thing. That's so far off though. That's so far. Mac Jones, before that happens, will get an opportunity elsewhere. I think he only signed a 2-year deal in San Fran. So he looked good last night though, man. That's a big win for that team.
Lamar Jackson didn't practice for a second straight day for the Baltimore Ravens. Kyle Hamilton also did not practice.
You want to talk about, speaking of teams that are like headed in the wrong direction or right direction, Mac Jones, we just talked about 3-0, like there's a 4-1 team. Ravens just like, what is going on? And that is, I think what's crazy about that, guys, is that is as consistent of a franchise as we know in the NFL. Like, you know what they are. They are a deep playoff team with an MVP quarterback. And all of a sudden, the defense stinks. The quarterback's hurt. They're 1-3. Like, what is going on?
I think it's injuries piled up upon. They played some other really good teams. Talk about they just took on the Chiefs. I mean, that's a good team. We know they gotten off to a rocky start too, but they've got Super Bowl experience. Patrick Mahomes. The Detroit Lions, they faced them the week before. That was a tough matchup for them. So it's been between they've had a tough schedule to start out, and they've just had all the worst possible injuries that you could have. Not only injuries, but injuries to key players. We talk about Matabuke and now Lamar and other guys that are key components to that team. So I don't think this is a reflection of them being a bad football team. I just think it's a mixture of bad injuries mixed with having a very tough schedule at the beginning, and it's just been a perfect storm for a 1-3, possibly a 1-4 start, because they're going up against a Houston Texans team this week that is also desperate. They're at 1-3, and they're at least a good bit healthier right now than the Ravens are. So if Lamar Jackson, we all talk about this, if Lamar Jackson doesn't practice today, he's definitely not playing. So that'll be something to watch out for today as that comes out, the injury report comes out today. But, man, if you're dependent on Cooper Rush, this could easily be a 1-4 football team. Talking about the Ravens, and
he
that's
don't even
crazy.
Fit the style. That's what's crazy. He doesn't fit the style, but we'll see.
Well, and coming up next, we're going to look at all the football that's happening this weekend, and Mike and Dylan are going to have to make some picks that they'll have to man up to on Monday. Can't wait to get Dylan in on this. And the random one I have for this week, so random. Very random. It's also Fair or Foul Friday. Fair or Foul. The early season bye week will not come back to haunt the Falcons later on. It's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Dylan keeping us on track as always. And this segment is presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys. Get the strong arm. And we have Fair or Foul coming up as soon as these guys make their picks for this weekend. Filling in for Bo is going to be Dylan making some picks. Dylan, scale of 1 to 10. How nervous are you about this?
-5.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not nervous at all.
I was going to say I can see the look in his eye.
I'm ready.
And he's like, yeah, I'm ready for this smoke.
As a sports connoisseur, I'm in tapped and in tune with everything, and so I'm ready. I usually am not a betting man. It's not the route I go, but that doesn't mean I don't know my way around a money line.
As a sports what?
Connoisseur. He did say connoisseur, didn't he?
Like, was there a D in there?
Oh, it's connoisseur.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It just makes it sound funny because of what you were saying with confidence.
Subdivisions, subcategories, connoisseur, all the same.
Hey, man, we're all doing our best out here in the streets, aren't we?
All right, let's go over the records that Mike and Bo have gotten so far for this season. Dylan, will you run through those?
I absolutely will. So Mike and Bo so far are doing pretty well on the season. Mike, 11-7-1. He did go 4-1 last week. Bo, 13-6, 2-3 last week. So both doing a pretty good job of making the people some money this year so far.
All right. Well, we'll see if you can continue that streak. So we're going to start with college. We're going to do a number 3 Miami at number 18 Florida State. Miami is favored by 4.5. Over under is 54.5. Dylan, what's your guess on this?
This one.
So it ain't probably, a guess if you know.
Right. Right. I don't think. Yeah. I know. But this one is probably the toughest one for me. I am going to go. I'm going to go Miami on the 4.5 points. I just think Florida State, yes, they're going to be coming back with a vengeance. They're going to be looking for revenge. They're going to be looking to exercise some demons after their kind of embarrassing loss last week, if we're being honest about it. But I think Carson Beck and this Miami team have been proven to be pretty battle-tested thus far, if you look at the wins they have and some of the performances they've put together. So I'm going to go Miami minus the 4.5.
Do you hear the internal conflict going on with him as he was saying it?
Yeah, I was. Interesting. The gears were grinding.
I like Florida State in this game, point blank. I mean, I think Florida State can rush the passer. I think that's what's going to give Miami problems. I think you're going to have the risk that Thomas Castellanos maybe gives one to Miami at some point. Miami is a good team. I just don't think the brand of football they play with the pocket passer and Carson Beck matches up well against Florida State. Give me Florida State plus the 4.5.
All right.
I like that, plus the 4.5.
Okay. All right, next up for our college football game, we've got number 16, Vanderbilt at number 10, Alabama. Alabama is favored by 10.5. Over-under is 55.5. We're going to go with the obvious first. Mike?
Well, can I throw a curveball at you?
Sure.
I'm taking Vanderbilt to cover.
Okay.
I got Bama winning the game, but 10.5 points is a ton. You know what? No. Let me change it. I just talked myself out of it. No, I'm going to go over in this game. I don't think either defense will stop either offense. I'll go over the 55.5. How about that? And that way I don't have to actually take Vanderbilt. I'll go over the 55.5.
Well, I'll do it for you because I was going to do it anyway. I'll take Vanderbilt.
There you go.
With the 10.5.
Yeah. Oh. I talked myself out of it right in the middle of it. That's on me.
We talked about earlier Georgia putting together a good performance, and we expect them to put together what might be their best performance of the year after coming off that Alabama loss. And we talked about how there could be a possibility of Georgia hangover. Well, I think there also is a possibility of Alabama having a hangover.
Yeah.
And look, I know Vandy isn't sneaking up on anybody. I know Alabama's going to know that Vanderbilt's going to be a challenge. But still, I think Vanderbilt's going to be a little sneaky with this one.
I don't think it's a bad pick. I think I'm just more confident in the over. But I don't mind the fact that you're taking Vanderbilt to cover the 10.5. I think that's a big number for a really talented football team. Yeah. So we'll see.
Okay, we're going to move over to the NFL. The Bucs at the Seahawks. Seattle is favored by 3.5. Over-under is 45.5. Dylan, you start this one.
This is also a very tough one. I'm going to have to go. I think Tampa bounces back. I think, as much as I hate to pick them, I do think Tampa is a little bit more talented. I know they're facing their injuries. I know Baker's still dealing with that bicep thing, but I see Tampa bouncing back. Give me Tampa to cover the 3.5. I just don't think Seattle is as clutch as Tampa. I think Seattle's a very talented football team. But if I'm having to pick a late-game situation, give me Baker Mayfield all day over Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, I think, has found himself a home and done a nice job going even back to the Vikings last year. But I just believe in Tampa more at this point. Give me the Buccaneers to cover the 3.5.
Here's where it becomes a problem that I actually am a wagerer and he is not, because I look at him and agree with every single thing he said. And then I look down and I see the line is Seattle favored by 3.5. And I go, what does Vegas know that I don't know?
Right.
Why are they favored by 3.5?
Right.
I'm taking Seattle minus the points. Home game. Give me Seattle all day. Baker, that 3.5, that hook, the half point.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about last week, where I'm like, Baker, if it's four or more, and Baker can't get in field goal range, that's where it's going to become an issue. So I'll get Seattle at home minus 3.5 points.
All right. How about the Commanders at Chargers? L.A. is favored by 2.5. Over-under is 48.5.
This one was really a struggle for me. Now, they're getting Jaden Daniels back. The Chargers are also missing. Remember we talked about Rashawn Slater? They also are now missing Joe Alt.
Yeah.
Both of their starting offense tackles for the year. They're still favored. I'm going to take the under in this one. I'm going to zig when everybody's zagging. Give me the under 48.5. I think Jaden Daniels being back will probably be a little bit rusty. And I think pass protection for Justin Herbert will be a little bit shaky this week. I'll take under 48.5.
This one's tough for me, too, because, like you said, even though Jaden Daniels is going to be back, there could be a rust factor there. Also, they've already ruled out Terry McLaurin, so he's not going to have his top target. Still going to have Debo. Still going to have some other weapons, though. So I think this will be a good game, a close one. I'm going to take the Chargers to cover this one. Give me the Chargers minus the 2.5. I think they can win by field goal.
Okay, and for my random pick of the week.
Oh, God.
We've got Central.
This is so unfair.
Central Michigan Chippewas. At Akron, Zips.
Fire up, Chips.
Fire up, Chips. I was just about to say that, man. I worked out with a guy when I was coming out for the draft named Dan LaFever, who at the time was like the all-time touchdown leader in college football history.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was That's a Chippewa. What was the spread you just gave me?
Central Michigan is favored by 7.5. Total over-under is 45.5.
Who's that playing? The Akron Zips?
Akron Zips. It's going to be played in Akron at the Infocision Stadium. The Zips.
Maction for days right here. The Zips is such a good name. I'm going to go, give me Central Michigan. Shout out Dan LaFever, my guy, Danny.
I'm so sorry, Allie. Will you give me the line one more time?
Come on, man.
I'm so sorry.
Central Michigan is favored by 7.5. Over-under is 45.5.
Come on.
Give me...
You don't know. I don't know why you're thinking of it. Throw a dart at the dartboard here.
Give me the over.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Let's get a shootout going in Akron.
Get some action going, baby.
some crazy action here.
All right. Well, same time, same station. Monday, they will have to man up. And today, you can join Andy and Randy at Twin Peaks and Buckhead for a special broadcast of the Midday Show. Come have lunch and enjoy the scenic views as we get ready for a big weekend of college and pro football. That is today from 11 to 2 at Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
As a reminder, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it, family style, at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Fair Foul Friday. Allie, take it away.
Fair or foul, the next Braves manager will come from within the organization.
Foul. I think they're trying to get out of there. I just sledgehammered that one. It's foul, though. I think they're going to try to find some new blood. I really do. I think they want youth. And when I think of youth, I don't think of anybody inside of the organization that just jumps out at me. I think they're going to go with somebody in like the early 40s, mid-40s range. I don't know why. Just somebody that can connect with the players in that clubhouse. Not that Snicker didn't do it at a high level, but just somebody a little bit younger.
I can vibe with that. I can vibe with a little bit of the youth movement. Youth plus just a little bit of that experience that they can find that happy medium. I think it's going to be foul. Even if they go with maybe somebody that's a little bit older, if it's just throwing out names, or Bruce Bochy, or somebody kind of in that realm,
right,
who's a little bit older but with winning experience, I could see them going that route before they go with somebody that's already in the organization. I think they'll move away from that. I think, like Mike said, new blood is the key. So foul.
By the way, Snit will be on the steakhouse today at 10 a.m. He might offer some insight on that.
Maybe so.
Fair or foul, the early season bye week will not come back to haunt the Falcons later on. Dylan, you start.
I'm going to be optimistic. I'm going to be an optimistic Falcons fan. I'm going to say fair. I think as far as them getting into a rhythm, I think it's going to help that. I think getting this bye week out of the way early, they know, hey, just lock in, moving forward. We got the rest of the season ahead. No stops, all gas, no breaks. We're going to get into it. Just going to knock on that wood over there, and just hopefully say we can survive the war of attrition and not have injuries to come too much into effect.
I'm going to go fair. I appreciate your vibes. I really do.
I'm
just going to play the odds here and just tell you it's absolutely going to be regrettable when you get at the end of November.
Week 12.
And such and such has a tricep, and this guy has a hamstring, and Penix is dealing with a groin, and you're like, dude, we could probably use a couple of extra days off. That's just how the NFL rolls, and that's the frustration of having it. Now, I try to look at the bright side and go, oh, Darnell can get back on track. Some of these guys that, Drake's been a little dinged up. But, dude, it's absolutely going to come back and get you. There's no doubt about it that at some point, even if it's one injury, we're going to be like, boy, it'd be nice if Ray had the bye week. And that's just how it rolls in the NFL.
Fair or foul, friend of the show, AJ Terrell, will be roller skating tonight at Mr. Atlanta's Rollerball.
Foul. Right? He can't do that.
That's true. He's got to be foul because I just thought he's dealing with the hamstring thing. So, yeah, that's definitely foul.
Please don't.
He ain't rollerblading.
I don't need any IG post later of him rollerblading. No, thank you.
I don't even want him to put the skates on just for a photo op. It's okay, AJ. Look, we all understand. You got bigger fish to fry.
And it's all for a good cause anyway. You don't need to skate.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, put a boot and a knee sleeve on that guy tonight.
Please.
We don't need anybody rolling into him.
Fair or foul, nobody wants to see the Yankees or Dodgers in the World Series again.
Absolutely fair.
Fair.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good on that.
Me and Dylan just looked at his eyes were so big, I was like, you go first because I'm going to hammer this thing. It was like him serving up a spike in volleyball.
I would honestly, and this hurts me to say, I would rather see the Phillies in the World Series than I would see the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Whoa.
I'm going there.
I don't know about that. We literally just saw
the Yankees and the Dodgers. I'm over it. I want some new teams.
I had your back so big earlier when it came to the Philly stuff. And there you go.
But I'm just saying, at least if the Phillies are in it, we can at least say the champion came from our division.
Right.
I can't
vibe with you on that one. You lost me.
Can we get like a Tigers-Phillies World Series or something like that?
No, man. You lost
I could vibe
on
with that.
Two quick ones.
All right.
Fair or foul, tailgating in Athens is superior to Tuscaloosa.
Stop yourself. Now, here's what I'll say. Can y'all meet me in the middle on this? The bar scene in the downtown and all that in Athens is superior to just about any other college town.
It's amazing.
But don't hit me with the tailgating dog.
Okay.
You know what I mean? When I was rolling in Athens, and it's all love between me and Georgia fans, but, bro, I went to a tailgate in the parking deck.
In the parking deck?
I went to a tailgate in the parking deck last time I was at Athens.
That's kind of next level, though.
Not really.
Is it because of the lack of space? Like, because everybody else is tailgating?
That's what I felt like.
But that means if there's so many tailgates,
we didn't have to have this conversation.
So many tailgates to the point where you have to tailgate in the parking deck, that's good, though. It shows that how much, like, tailgating there is. So
I
would say
fair. I'm not snooty about Tuscaloosa at all. Like, it is what it is. It's a small town in central Alabama. But I would definitely – the bar scene in Athens is insane. Like, I would 10 times out of 10. Tailgating, though? Nah, dog.
I'm saying fair just to mess with Mike.
Yeah. One last one. This is specifically for Dylan. Fair or foul, High School Musical is better than Cheetah Girls.
Wow.
Dang, she said you got to go quick, too.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to say fair. I think the overall story is better, and I'll just leave it at that. I'll go
We're
fair.
We're breaking free.
And you just saying that, I think the songs are a little bit vibier, too. The songs are catchier, so I'm going to go fair all the way.
All right, coming up, we've got the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. Are you allowed to have a B-team? Who is your B-team? If so, call us now, 404-726-0929. You can also tweet us at 929-MORNINGSHIFT. The wake-up call is next on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.